In the next few days on Main Street, we're going to talk about what it would take to put this province on a firmer economic footing for the long term. We know the provincial government is promising to bring its budget back to balance in the next 2 or 3 years, but Liberal MP Scott Bryson warned us last fall our problems run deeper than that. He says a full third of Nova Scotia's economic activity comes from federal government spending, and no one's sure how long that will go on. Also on the list of things to worry about, our aging population and rising healthcare costs, diminishing clout compared to the rest of the country, and taxes that are already higher than most other provinces. And more people are talking about the damage being done to our coasts by storm surges. This came up just last week on Main Street during Halifax Radio Council.
Well, the greatest impacts that we're witnessing in the communities of Eastern Passage and Cow Bay have to do with wave action and storm surge, and certainly erosion of the shoreline and damage to roads and public and residential properties. I noticed it around the time of Hurricane Juan, and it certainly seems to have increased since then. You know, we've had a number of storm events, and I think that there's been a wake-up call to residents with respect to the hazards of living by the sea, really.
That's Jackie Barkhouse, the counselor for Woodside Eastern Passage. Jen Graham is the coastal coordinator with the Ecology Action Center. We asked her to drop by and help us get a sense of how big a deal this is going to become. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Now, scientists warned us a decade ago that we'd see more severe storms more often. The storm of the century would become a once-in-a-decade phenomenon. To what extent is that already happening?
Well, I think we're starting to see the signs of things to come.
Yeah.
The weather we've seen in December and most of the Maritimes.
Now, Jackie Barkhouse was talking about the coast in Eastern Passage and the Cow Bay area there. What other parts of Nova Scotia are particularly vulnerable these days?
Well, we definitely have one of the most vulnerable coastlines in Canada due to our location, the Atlantic coast. We saw a lot of that battering happened on Dominion Beach, Risers Beach. In the last storms, the second storm in December, some storm surges in the Northumberland Strait, some people lost about 30 feet of property in one go along the Heather Beach area, Amherst Shore, Tidnish. So we certainly got some shorelines that are exposed, and we have a lot of infrastructure that's important economically, but also people live there and people play.
So what should we be thinking about now to protect those existing homes, roads, and other things that you mentioned? Those rock walls that you see homeowners building, are those working?
Well, I'm thinking of this as almost a five-step program for the coast.
Okay.
I mean, we definitely need to act now to prevent putting more houses and infrastructure in vulnerable areas. That's the part where we either say no now, or we say no in 10 years when the cost of repairing this stuff gets more. That's where we need some provincial coastal regulations about where we build. Secondly, we actually need to get more information at people about what the coast is like. This coast, it's a dynamic living system. It always has been, always will be. The changes we're seeing in our weather, the more extreme weather and storms, is going to make that kind of a change happen a lot quicker. And people need to know this so they can make better decisions about where they want to build and where they want to invest their money.
And where would you like to see that education coming from?
Well, I think there's a bit of a shared responsibility here. Governments, provincially, municipality, real estate agents, people who are selling people homes along the coast need to tell people, hey, considering buying this beautiful view, you might want to think of these things that are going to cost you more money over time. Mm. The coast is changing. It will change faster. How much do you want to spend on rock walls? But I think there is a certain element of buyer beware.
Now, what about things that already exist? Homes, you've mentioned homes that are on those eroding shorelines, roads that keep getting damaged. Are rock walls a suitable way to protect these things?
Rock walls can temporarily protect some infrastructure and some beaches. But over the medium and long term, a lot of these are going to cause more damage than they're going to help. I mean, if you think about it, when you're building a sandcastle on the beach, mm-hmm. what do you do when you see the waves come in? You build a little moat around it. You build a wall. What happens? The ocean goes right around it and sucks up the sand from the other side of your wall and it crumbles.
So these rock walls are hurting the shore further down?
They're stopping the sand that would normally move along the shore from moving, and they're causing more erosion on other people's property. So I think, you know, rather than saying no more rock walls, absolutely, we do need to look at the consequences of them and decide what's our priority for the public money we're going to spend on this, right, and for what time frame. Are we willing to invest in something that will last 5 years, 10 years, 25 years? What about if building a wall along that strip of shore gouges out all the sand in that beautiful provincial park beach where our tourists go to?
Yeah.
So I think we have to make these decisions with a little more knowledge of the coast.
So are you saying that if a person is building a rock wall, their neighbors have a right to be up in arms about it?
Oh, I'm saying that if someone's building a rock wall, they and their neighbors should be aware of the potential consequences of these. So if I kind of go back to what my five-step program
is, please.
I'm going to say information to people up the coast. We need to set some priorities provincially and locally, and I think maybe we're talking about two different things. We've got our provincial infrastructure. A lot of that was washed out over the last few weeks, bridges, roads, and we have to decide which ones we want to rebuild. The Premier is on the record saying we'll rebuild bigger and stronger, but sometimes bigger and stronger is not smarter. We could actually innovate a little bit, and that would kind of be one recommendation.
So not bigger and stronger, we're looking at smarter now.
Yeah.
So what would smarter look like?
Well, smarter could look like any different things, like rebuilding in Cow Bay, for example, where we have got a causeway across a beach that has been washed out a couple of times. Mm. We might look at what would happen if that was a bridge. A bridge lets the water go under it and lets the flood water come out of it. I'm not saying a bridge is the answer for Cow Bay, but we might want to consider infrastructure that actually works with the natural flows of water. Another great example is what they're doing in Aulac, right at the border between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. And that's the area where the Trans-Canada Highway crosses a pretty low-lying area and where the dikes that protect it are being washed away by the sea. They've tried building it bigger. They've tried moving it. Nothing's working. What they're trying right now is to encourage a salt marsh like would have been there a long time ago, to reestablish itself.
Hmm.
So this is a big project done by Ducks Unlimited, Department of Transportation, Mount Allison University, and probably a whole bunch of other people. But what they're trying to do is build a natural buffer zone between the ocean and the road to, over the long term, save the cost of constantly rebuilding a dike that is going to wash away.
Everything old is new again.
Everything old is new again. ISS is new to this stuff.
So, Jen, how much financial relief do you think people can reasonably expect to get from governments if this kind of damage becomes more frequent and with our demographics going the way that they are?
I don't think we can look at this as an unlimited resource. I mean, insurance companies pay out, but once they discover that the same kinds of things are being claimed over and over again, the premiums will go up. It will become more expensive to insure properties that are at risk of damage. The other source of money for the public so far is federal disaster relief. There's some tight criteria on that, and increasingly, I suspect that criteria is going to include taking provisions to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Hmm.
And if we look at, aside from the, this is going to apply both to people in their houses and their cottages, but also to municipalities and the province, because we also depend both on insurance and disaster relief to repair all the roads and bridges. And in a province that's facing the kind of deficit that Nova Scotia is, we are not going to be able to afford to build everything the same way we once did.
So if it makes more sense to build smarter as opposed to bigger, can we afford to do that as a small province, Jen?
It will be tough, but we can afford to build smarter if we make the right choices. So for example, the Federal Disaster Relief Fund actually has a provision that provinces asking for disaster relief can ask for 15% more if they are using those funds to prevent a similar disaster from happening in the first place.
And are we taking advantage of that?
To the best of my knowledge, Nova Scotia is not taking advantage of this provision that would allow them to potentially reassess where we put certain roads, rebuild certain roads indifferently.
Why wouldn't we?
I mean, I think we need to actually anticipate we're going to have more storms. So, for example, Department of Transportation and Public Works should be making a list and making it relatively public of all the infrastructure we have and which roads and which bridges tend to get wiped out more often. Then they could start making the feasibility plans about what we would do to prevent it, both hard measures and the cost benefit of doing some of the softer, more innovative ways, so that when we have these disasters, when, say, that road at Queensland Beach or the causeway at Cow Bay gets wiped out again, we have a plan in place and some costs already ready that we can apply for the federal funds and other ones in order to repair them. So,
Jen, thanks for being here today.
Thanks a lot.
That's Jen Graham. She's the Coastal Coordinator with the Ecology Action Center. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this, particularly if you live in a vulnerable area where you're seeing a lot of damage from storm surges. The numbers haven't changed. Call the main line, 1-888-686-6246. That's 1-888-686-MAINE. Or drop us an email at mainehfx@cbc.ca.